November is the month of Thanksgiving. We all think of the pleasant holiday that is coming up, but I'd like to remind us all that it is a good opportunity to think of Thanksgiving to God, not just on one day, but continually. A spirit of Thanksgiving. I think sometimes we all know a person who can be said to have a spirit of complaining. Every time you meet them, they're going on about something that's bugging them. And it is easy to get in a sidetrack like that. But how much better if we all just got in the habit of thanking God all the time for everything. When you start doing it, it's overwhelming. The number of things that He has done to make your life better, to be a particular blessing to you in your existence in this world. And you can go on and on if you really start to think about this. And so today we're going to meditate about that spirit of thankfulness that we all know we ought to have, but which we oftentimes forget. In Psalm 18, David is certainly one of the grand examples in Scripture of someone who has that spirit of thankfulness. The Psalms are a beautiful expression of that spirit, as we all know, but I'd like to single out this number 18 because of some ideas that are there, and we will go on from there elsewhere. In verse 1, he starts out, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." Right there at the beginning is his determination to express his love for God. And we're all tardy about that. And if anybody asks you as a believer, do you love God? Of course, of course. When is the last time you told Him so is an embarrassing question. For all of us, we tend to get so embroiled in our activities, our projects that need to be done, we oftentimes forget to thank God for things that are pretty obvious. And concerning the strength that He supplies to us day after day, we take it for granted. We get out of bed, whether we leap out or crawl out, it doesn't matter, I guess. But we get going in the morning, and there's strength there, and so on. How many times do we say, praise God for what strength we have? Sometimes we forget completely. So from the dawn of the day on, there are things that we can be thankful about, and we commonly forget to say thank you, especially to the Lord. David goes on to say, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Boy, he is pouring it on here. And every category that he mentions is a special matter to give thanks to God for. The Lord is his rock, his foundation. He has a firm foundation in life. He's not on sinking sand. His steps are not in a slippery place. He's on the solid foundation of God's holy word. My fortress, whatever disaster may come, whatever foe may attack me, He is my fortress. He is the defense against all who come against me. What a tremendous assurance that is. Your safety does not depend on your wits or your good alliances in this world or your careful forethought. Your protection comes from the Lord. He's the only one that can foresee what you're going to need during the day and have strength there for you when that occasion occurs. He is a buckler, a shield. He is the horn of salvation. In the ancient world, the horn was a very obvious weapon that an antelope or an ox had. And so God is his defense. God is his protection. And he is my high tower, he says. In the ancient world, that was the supreme defense. If you could have a high tower that the enemy could not scale, boy, that was the epitome of protection. And so God is all these things to David. And we must remind ourselves that David is not talking theoretically. He lived among enemies. He had to face enemies. He went to war constantly. He was the one who had to face Goliath. You know, all through his life, there were people that were literally trying to kill him. And so here he is expressing to God profound thanks that God is continually protecting him against all the people who would like to see him put out of the way. They can't do it because God is his protection. Now, that's a very comforting thought for every one of us. You realize that there is absolutely no one who can get rid of you prematurely. Now, you may have serious enemies. There are all kinds of providential accidents about you. They cannot get rid of you until the right time when the Lord says it's time to go home. What a tremendous comfort that is. What peace that gives our soul. There are no accidents for Christians. The things that happen, God allows for our benefit. He says so very plainly. So whatever happens, we can thank God. It is God's protection that guards our steps day after day and gives us that pathway toward himself, which is such a blessing to believers. How rarely do we stop and thank him for that tremendous blessing. In verse 29, David thinks of some remarkable things that have happened. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. And he's using figures of speech here for, in part, military actions he was engaged in, and personal conflicts as with Goliath himself and so on. He accomplished all kinds of marvelous things in his life, but he didn't take credit for any of them. It was the Lord who enabled him. It was the Lord who gave him the victory. And he had that serene confidence in the protecting power of God, and he was profoundly thankful. Friends, that's a lesson to us. We tend to take all of this for granted, and yes, the Lord is guarding me, and yes, I have a clear pathway, and so on. But have I thanked him for it? Do I stop and praise God for what he is doing? We oftentimes forget. In verse 49, he says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Great deliverance he gave to him. Yes, he did. But then he has given that to all of us. He has delivered us from much that would otherwise have removed us from this world, or slowed down our ability to serve God, or turned us aside somehow from his pathway. And God has delivered us again and again. How profound should be our sense of thankfulness. A spirit of thankfulness that does not just come and go in fits and spurts, but stays with us as we continually think of how many ways in which God delivers us and blesses us and guides our steps. It's marvelous when we stop and start counting our blessings. In Psalm 35:18, David says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. Yes, the day will come when we will stand in glory and be able to thank God in the great congregation that is there. But then there are occasions when we can do that here in a smaller congregation. Thanksgiving service itself will be that time when we can get together and stand up and praise God for what he has done for us. I hope many of you will volunteer for that. We'll have another blessed Thanksgiving service in which people do remember the greatness of God and the loving kindness of God, and thank him publicly for all that he is doing. Now, in Psalm 75, we have Asaph expressing that same spirit of thankfulness that we've seen in David. Asaph was another of the great psalmists of Israel. And he says in verse 18, misread that. Psalm 75 and verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. He specifically praises God, and he notes that thy name is near. The name always stands for the person. The name of God is not just some title that he has. The name is his presence with us. He is Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one who is always there. And so he is thinking of that. And he gives thanks to God because his name is there with him. His presence is with him. His wondrous works demonstrate that his presence is with him. And so Asaph was another that thought profoundly on the blessed obligation that we have of giving thanks to God. In Psalm 79, there is another expression by Asaph, Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. So here, Asaph expresses so well that we are the sheep of his pasture. We are the persons that he guards and cares for and leads safely and makes provision for. All of these things ought to be matters of thankfulness for us, but we take them for granted. He keeps giving, we keep receiving, and we rarely say anything about it. But here he is thinking, as a faithful sheep in the flock, how well the shepherd is caring for him, how much the shepherd is doing for him. We need to meditate on that, friends. All of us need to be thinking, how wonderful is his guiding care. He leads us by the still waters. He supplies to us those green pastures. He does so much for his flock, and we take it all for granted and are benefited by all of this and rarely say thank you. So like these psalmists, we too ought to praise God. Single out things that he has done that are marvelous things, and thank him especially for what he is doing. Now, the author of Psalm 119 also expresses that. The psalm is not signed. Many people think David wrote it, but he didn't put his name on it. But in Psalm 119, verse 62, he says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, friends, that's worth thinking about. We rarely rise to give thanks to God any time, even at most convenient times. We tend to forget. But here he's saying, in the middle of the night, I'm going to think of all God has done and start thanking him for it. Next time that you wake up in the middle of the night and can't sleep, remember that verse. I hope you get convicted on that score. Too many times we wake up in the night and toss and turn and get fretful that we have to stay awake, instead of thankful, because it gives us another opportunity to say thank you to the God who is protecting us even at night as he does in the daytime. And here the psalmist expresses this determination that he shall seize opportunities to thank God. Wonderful thought for every one of us. In verse 64, he says, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Yes, we need to look around us and see how well God has blessed his people. What wonderful things he has done for his people. We need to express that to him. Now, in conjunction with these psalms, I would like us to back up to Nehemiah for a verse that is really different. I think it's something that we have never pondered and that is well worth pondering. In Nehemiah chapter 12, dropping down to verse 8, Nehemiah is listing the names of the various priests and Levites that are serving God in the restored temple. And when he gets down to verse 8, he says, moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, and Binui, and Kadmiel, and Sherebiah, and Judah, and Mattaniah, who was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Here they had designated a specific Levite, Mattaniah, to be over the thanksgiving, to be sure that there was thanksgiving praise rendered to God every day. And he and his brethren were responsible for that. What a wonderful thought. We don't have anybody in this church who's delegated to thank God. It looks like every one of us could step forward and volunteer, you know. We've got so much to thank God for. But here was a Levite who had a specific task. It was his job to thank the Lord. Now, that's a task we can take to ourselves, not just officially in church, but all the time, to feel ourselves called upon to thank God for what he is doing, to thank God for the blessings of the past, to thank God for what we know will be his assured blessings for all eternity. And we can certainly assume that responsibility for ourselves. Now, when we turn to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is a beautiful example of that thankful spirit. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and through 27, the Lord Jesus expresses something that we could ourselves give thanks concerning. While He is teaching, while He is rebuking the sinners, while He is performing all the labors that His Father had delegated to Him, verse 25 says, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, 'I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight.'" Now here He interrupts His teaching, interrupts His solemn preaching, in order to pause and thank His Heavenly Father. Now friends, if He thought that was so important as to interrupt a message of divine truth to people that was extremely important, then how much more should we take as very important our thankfulness toward God? He thanked His Father as Lord of heaven and earth because in His wisdom He veiled the mysteries of God from those who were enemies. And He enlightened the eyes of those who were His people that they might see and understand the mystery of the wisdom of God. And He thanks His Father for this. And very rarely do we ever get moved to thank God in the midst of a sermon or in the midst of our tasks, whatever they may be. Now, we rarely stop and thank God for what He is doing. And yet all day long His mercies are upon us. All day long He brings blessing upon His people. All day long He is present with them to provide strength and help and refreshment to every sheep. We certainly ought to think of thanking Him. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 36, the Lord Jesus took the 7 loaves and gave thanks over them before feeding thousands of people. He paused before a great miracle and thanked God for what He had provided. And He then provided much more through that blessing. In Matthew 26:27, He took the cup and gave thanks over it at the Last Supper that we still commemorate in His name. In John 11:41, He paused and gave thanks to His Father before working a great miracle, raising Lazarus from the dead. He stopped and thanked His Father for His power and His love. Now, my friends, if the Lord Jesus paused this way again and again and thanked His Father expressly for things, and we know that the Lord Jesus was always in fellowship with His Father. He always did those things that pleased His Father. There was no question about that. But repeatedly in the Gospels, we see this deliberate pausing in the midst of important things, miraculous deeds, important teaching, and pausing to give thanks to His Father. What a marvelous example that is to us all. We need to cultivate that habit of pausing and thanking God for what He has done, for what He is doing, and what we know He will do. We can certainly pause and say, "Thank You, Lord," even in the midst of busy circumstances. But rarely do we do so. We are a forgetful people. The Apostle Paul also is a beautiful example of that thankful spirit. In his epistles, he expresses that thankfulness again and again. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he begins his marvelous teaching of the gospel and its salvation power by saying, verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." So here he pauses at the beginning of this marvelous epistle, this doctrinal masterpiece, and thanks God for the Romans, that their faith is spoken of throughout the world. He was thinking of thanking God for things in the midst of what everyone would call a marvelous theological treatise. Now, friends, that's very rare. Among theology books, I would have a hard time referring you to any one of them that pauses in the midst of a doctrinal discussion and thanks God for His love and His care. There may be some of them, but boy, you've got to hunt to find them. Most theology books are rather dull, to be very blunt, and they certainly don't lead one to the devotional praise of God. Instead, they put some people to sleep, which is a shame. But here, the Apostle Paul writing what has to be classified as one of the greatest doctrinal works in the history of the world, Romans, pauses at the beginning to thank God. He always had that spirit of thankfulness, that devotional heart, even in the midst of the most serious doctrinal exposition that we can think of. You can hardly name a theological treatise more important than Romans. But he is thanking God in the midst of all that. Friends, that is an excellent example for us all. But it's by no means the only one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He is thinking of God's magnificent grace. Friends, we ought to be thinking about that all the time. God is continually pouring out grace upon us. He is imparting to us strength and wisdom and help and instruction. It goes on all the time. We rarely pause to thank him for what he is doing. Here Paul expresses that thanksgiving for the grace of God that has come to the Corinthians. Friends, we are the recipients of God's grace again and again and again and again, and we rarely thank him for it. Let us ponder that. In Ephesians 1:1, Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here Paul is thanking God for the Ephesians. He's praying for them and praising God for them. What a wonderful combination to pray for people and at the same time thank God for what he is doing through them. That's a beautiful combination. In Philippians 1:3, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. As he thought of that blessed congregation, the church at Philippi was such a marvelous testimony and a blessing to the apostle himself. Every time he thought of them, he praised God. He thanked the Lord for that church. Now, friends, we can do that also, thanking God for what he has brought to Trinity, praising God every time we think of our church. I can think back to when it was a very, very small church. This very spot where I'm standing was a little frame house. A very tiny place, and in that place only a few people gathered together. But God blessed that. God has done marvelous things, and now we have a beautiful sanctuary. How much we should be praising God for what he has done for our own congregation. We must not forget, we must not take for granted the blessings of God. We should thank him. In Philemon, verse 4, Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Now that's something, to be making it a point to include thanksgiving in prayer, always. Many times we pray and we give the Lord a long list of, I need this and I need that and I would sure like to have this. And, you know, it's a long want list. And we rarely pause to give him thanks for what he has already given us. For blessings that are ours right now. And for blessings that we know very well he is bringing into our life and will keep bringing into it. And we rarely thank him. Friends, we ought to make thanksgiving a part of every prayer. Thanking God for what he is doing. Thanking him for who he is. Thanking him for his precious word. That ought to be a part of our very life. Now, friends, I want us to fast forward to the future. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, this is one of the major parts of the revelation of Christ concerning the future and what we call the tribulation period. In chapter 11 of Revelation and verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world became that of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Now that seventh trumpet marks the conclusion of the judgments of God. Out of that seventh trumpet is going to come the seven bowls of the wrath of God poured out upon the tribulation period, that will bring that whole period to its conclusion, will wreck the powers of the Antichrist and destroy his kingdom, and will bring in, ultimately, the kingdom of God. And at this critical moment, when that trumpet sounds, marking the end, there's a celebration in glory. In verse 17, these 24 elders, probably symbols of the combined people of God, Old and New Testament saints together, say, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Now, friends, here is the magnificent occasion in glory when God brings his sequence of judgment upon the earth to a conclusion and is about to take over the earth in his powerful millennial reign. And the saints of God in glory celebrate that occasion, giving thanks to the Lord God Almighty because he has taken his power and accomplished his purpose. Friends, in eternity to come, this is going to be one of our great privileges to add our voices to the celebration of the saints of all ages in the greatness of God, the mighty conquest that he is yet to bring upon this world, and the purpose that he has for this world in the ages to come. All of this is unfinished business now. We can thank him for what we see in progress. We can thank him for what he has done for us. But we should remember to thank him for the future. For us, the future is never going to end. By the grace of God, we shall always be with him. Those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ will continue on in service and praise and thanksgiving and blessing for all the ages to come. And that privilege belongs to every last born-again saint of God. How marvelous is his grace! How wonderful are the blessings that he brings upon his people! How our hearts should be overflowing with thankfulness to God because of who he is, because of what he has done, because of the salvation that he has provided to his people, and because of the future that is sure to the saints of God who know the Lord Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will not fail to accomplish all his purpose. He will accomplish every bit of it. And he will put his people into the center of the blessing that he intends for all the ages to come. My friends, thankfulness is certainly a responsibility upon us all, but it ought to be a delight, a privilege that we seize upon every time it comes to mind. We should thank him every day, not just Thanksgiving Day. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank thee for who thou art. How we thank thee for the greatness of thy love in the Lord Jesus. How we thank thee for that great salvation, washing sinful people such as we are from their sins, delivering them from the chains of habit, setting their feet upon the solid rock, and making us thy dear children. How we thank thee for the grace of the Lord Jesus. How we thank thee for the privilege of prayer, of gathering together in thy presence and singing thy praises and giving thanks to thee. How we thank thee for the glorious future that thou hast prepared, the endless ages in which we shall be satisfied with thy presence, in which we may stand in the courts of glory and sing thy praises. We thank thee that thou hast included us in thy mercy. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us a spirit of thanksgiving. Cause us to remember thee. Cause us to think of thee and of the greatness of thy love. And help us, Lord, that day by day we may breathe a thankful spirit, praising thee for all that thou hast done. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.